My name is Sarah Bogason, and this session is entitled Depression, a Personal Experience. Depression in one or more of its forms is experienced by almost everyone sometime during their lifetime, yet it's something that we're so afraid to talk about. No one ever really talks about depression, or if someone is depressed, usually people shy away from that person. If it's a physical, say someone has cancer or something like that, people surround the person for support. But if a person is depressed, so many times that person is left alone to deal with the depression by themselves. Tonight I'm just going to talk a little bit about the different kinds of depression, but the majority of the time will be spent on talking about one form of depression called bipolar disorder or manic depression. If you have any questions as I'm going along, please stop me and ask them. I'm not an expert in this field. What I'm saying tonight is basically from what I've experienced myself or what I've read in a few books. Okay, when I think of depression, I think of two broad categories. The first one is that which is situation related. Something triggers the depression, say the loss of a loved one or something like that. The other broad category is the type of depression that relates to a chemical imbalance within the body. These two types of depression are not mutually exclusive. It's possible to have both types of depression, and we're not even sure if one might cause the other. I mean, there's a lot of interaction between the two. Okay, depression which results from a certain event or string of events is normal, an experience I'm sure by everyone. Some of the triggering events could be, as I mentioned before, the loss of a loved one or a close friend, or the loss of a job, a major change in one's lifestyle, having to move away from a place they loved or something like that, or feeling of no control over one's situation. And that might be exemplified by, say, the nuclear arms race, something we have we can feel as an individual that we have no control over that, and for some people that is it causes depression. In the book by Maggie Scarf entitled Unfinished Business, she states that if you're feeling sad, hopeless, down in the dumps, and indifferent for 2 weeks or more, and you have one of the following symptoms, then she says that you should find or get at the root of what the depression is. You should probably seek help. And some of the symptoms she talks about are change in eating habits. Most depressed people are not interested in eating. But there is also the opposite. Sometimes depression causes some people to eat all the time, overeating. In depressed people, sleeping is usually a hard thing to do. They may lay in bed a long time, but it's not a good sleep, it's fitful sleep, waking up, you know, every hour or something like that, not good sleep. Or feeling low in energy, less interested in sexual activity, trouble thinking, concentrating, or making decisions, being preoccupied with suicidal thoughts, feeling extremely guilty or inadequate, or suffering from physical complaints, especially gastrointestinal complaints, for which no medical explanation can be found. And she lists even more than that, but those are a lot of symptoms in depressed people. Treatment for situational type depression can be either counseling, psychotherapy, or if prescribed, antidepressant drugs. As an introduction to the chemical imbalance type depression, I'm just going to read a quote from Dr. Peter Weibrow of Dartmouth Medical School. He states, "The fact that someone's become elated or depressed doesn't necessarily mean that an event has caused it, that something has happened. What that elation or depression actually does denote is the absence of some normal, self-balancing, homeostatic mechanism. Some pretty big words at the end there, but it helps lead into my story. I experienced an extended depression, it was at least a year and a half, in which I couldn't explain the depression. I couldn't pin it on any certain event, even though I tried. I tried to pin it on different things. And this depression began in 1981, and didn't lift until November of 1983 when I was hospitalized. I felt worthless. I felt really slow. I was suicidal. And the thing that was typical of my depression was that I felt like I was wearing a cap that was too tight on my head. It was pushing in all the time, and I had this constant pressure above my eyebrows, and it was kind of a throbbing, dull pain all the time. Making decisions became very difficult for me. I mean, even deciding what clothes I should put on to go to work was, I mean, it seemed like a major lifetime decision to me. In the beginning of this depression, I kept trying to find something to pin it on. You know, it had to be something. So obviously I blamed it on work, my job. They've been working me too hard. That's what I said. But in September of 1983, I took a 2-week vacation, went out to California, visited my favorite people, my niece and nephew, and even being 2,000 miles away from work, I was still depressed, hopelessly depressed. I didn't want to get out of bed in the morning, didn't want to see anyone. Maggie Scarf states, "The depressed person, like someone with an awful toothache, turns his or her attention inward and has little to give outward. It simply hurts too much." And I think that describes pretty well how I was feeling at that time. So upon returning from California, and after reading the book Mood Swing, which talks about manic depression, and in light of my family history, I decided that I would make an appointment to see a psychiatrist. First, I was almost scared off because I called and they said the earliest appointment is a month and a half away. It'll be $1.50 per minute. You need at least an hour, so that'll be $90. What's your insurance? And I didn't want anybody else to know that I was depressed because it's something we seem to not want to talk about. So I said, I've got the money, I'll pay for it. And a month and a half later, I did get to see the doctor. But I just want to mention a little bit about my family background. In my family, my mother has bipolar disorder, manic depression. And of the 5 children in our family, 3 of us have bipolar disorder. My mother's brother probably was manic depressive. He committed suicide when I was a young child. And possibility that my grandfather on my father's side was also manic depressive. He died as an alcoholic, and there seems to be some kind of connection between alcoholism and manic depression, whether it's the manic depressive person drinks to cover up their mood swings or whatever it is and becomes an alcoholic. No one knows for sure, but there's a lot of research in this area now. So that's my background. It appears that bipolar disorder is hereditary or biological in nature. As I have evidenced in our family with 3 out of the 5 children also having it. And I read some statistics. They say that situational related depression happens, or it seems to be 2/3 of the time it's in women and 1/3 of the time in men. But with manic depression, it's 50-50. It seems to hit evenly across the board. Between the time that I made the appointment and I actually had the appointment, I was working as a tax accountant full-time and taking a graduate school course in Chicago at DePaul University, which was 2.5-3 hour commute. I was doing that once a week. This course required a lot of classwork. We had to brief Supreme Court cases. But in the state that I was in, it was too much work for me. I started getting up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning, going to work and working until 8 o'clock on my classwork, trying to brief these Supreme Court cases. Then I'd work 8 to 5, and then from 5 until 1 o'clock in the morning or 2, I would be working on these cases again. I just couldn't seem to get them done. I'd read a page 6 or 7 times, get to the bottom of the page, and if you'd asked me what was on that page, I couldn't tell you. Just the thought process was not there. And I felt like I was becoming retarded, which scared me a lot. But finally I got to see the doctor, and after the second session with the psychiatrist, he seemed to believe that I probably did have bipolar disorder. And I'm going to try to explain some of the medical aspects of manic depression or bipolar disorder. Pretend these are blood cells right here. And let's just say, for example, that Na stands for sodium. That in your blood cell you're supposed to have 3 sodium ions. That's a normal cell. Well, if you've got too many sodium cells in there, well, first I better back up. In manic depression, the problem that people have is that their bodies cannot process sodium correctly. In my body, sodium builds up in the cells to a level which is not normal. So if I, in say my blood cell, if it was built up to 7 sodium ions in there, then I would be in a depressed phase. If it keeps growing, I keep getting more sodium ions in the cell, as I've shown here, this is when you would be in the manic phase. And what I'm trying to show here is that it is not normal in the middle, depressed on the lower end, and manic on the upper end. You actually have to go from normal up through depressed to get to the manic phase and then back down. If you're in the manic phase, you have to go back down to the depressed phase to get back to normal. And what lithium actually does, lithium is just a natural salt. And it goes into the cell, kicks out the extra sodium, just displaces them and moves in its place. And so that you do not have the extra sodium in your cells anymore. Okay, I never reached the manic phase. I reached the depressed phase. And that's normal for people in my situation. Usually, I think my doctor felt that you're usually born with a small imbalance, and as you grow older, the imbalance keeps increasing. He said probably in my 30s I would have had the manic phase if I had not sought help. I know my brother had manic phases when he was in his 20s, but it's different for each person. And I've got lots of stories, if we want to talk about them later, about people in the manic phase and the things that you do. But when there's also too much sodium in the cells, then in your, we're pretending this is up in your brain, and these are 2 different nerves. This area between the 2 nerves is called the synapse. And there's a gap in here. The nerves do not connect directly. There's a small gap. And in order for a brain message to go from one nerve to the next nerve, there has to be a certain fluid that is actually ejected from the ends of the nerve cell itself. And this substance then allows the message to go from one nerve to the next. Norepinephrine and serotonin are 2 of the compounds that are in that substance that allows the message to go from one nerve to the next. And when someone is depressed, in manic depression, there's no serotonin in the synapse area. And thus, the messages do not go from one nerve cell to the next. And that's why I was experiencing that feeling of feeling retarded, so slow that I could read a page 6 or 7 times and not understand it at the end. It's because it's like the brain messages were only getting part way, and they weren't getting across. Now, norepinephrine has something to do with the feeling of elation or euphoria, whereas serotonin has something to do with the state of sleep. So that would also explain why I wasn't able to sleep during, when I was depressed, I would have these times when I would just start awake. You know, I'd wake up 7 times during the evening, during the night, and I never felt rested. And that was most likely because I did not have serotonin in the synapse area.
You mean that you cannot sleep or you can sleep?
It was fitful sleep. It was not ever, you never felt rested through the night. I mean, I could lay in bed 12 hours and not feel rested. Okay. Now, lithium also helps to regulate, right, and regulate the manufacturing of serotonin. I guess, as I understand it, I'm not a biologist, but at the ends of these nerve cells, that is actually where these substances are manufactured and spurted out. So lithium helps for the manufacturing of serotonin. I don't know, I found this as kind of a fun fact. They've done a lot of autopsies on people who have committed suicide, and there's been no serotonin in the synapse area in their brains, which, you know, leads me to believe that, you know, it's, I know how, I mean, I felt suicidal, and anything anybody could have told me couldn't convince me that I, you know, that I should keep on living. But I think that's an interesting fact that maybe that is even biological suicide. While I was in the hospital, they started me out on 2 different things. First, the lithium carbonate, which is a salt, and an antidepressant called norpramine. Now, norpramine is a tricyclic antidepressant. Whatever that means. I guess it's something about its shape. But a research done by Nobel Prize winner, Julius Axelrod, he did a lot of research on antidepressants, and he found that the reason these tricyclic antidepressants are so effective is that they regulate the flow of norepinephrine in the synapse area. And as I mentioned before, norepinephrine is the one that makes you feel elated. But the reason they started me on the antidepressant, in addition to lithium, was that lithium takes quite a while to get regulated in your body. It doesn't just happen just like that. But after 11 days on both of these, my depression lifted. And I can't even explain how wonderful it was. I mean, that cap came off my head. I could think clearly. It was elation. And at that point, my lithium level was 0.6. The therapeutic lithium level in people is 0.5 to 1.5. with the optimum level being 1.0 to 1.2. And I was way down here at 0.6. But my depression lifted. And I was still in the hospital, and 2 days before I left, they decided 0.6 seems awful low. Let's increase her lithium intake. So I left the hospital, and I went back to work for 2 days and just became violently ill. I thought it was the worst flu I'd ever had. It was nauseated, sick. My My legs just, my muscles became weak. And I wrote in my journal that day, I said, I can't concentrate, which only frustrates me more. All my muscles feel weak and shaky. It is especially hard to walk down steps. My legs just shake, and it feels like my ankle muscles aren't strong enough to support my weight. And I waited out the weekend thinking I just had the flu. And when it wasn't any better by Monday morning, and without eating, called up my doctor and went in to see him and found out that I had lithium toxicity, which means that I had too much lithium in my system. For me, 0.7 or 0.8, I can't go beyond that. Whereas for most people, the optimum range is 1.0 to 1.2. But that's why lithium, even though it is a natural salt, is still considered, you know, you have to buy it as a prescription because there is the possibility of becoming toxic on it. And even overdosing.
What could happen in an overdose?
If way too much, the person could die. But what it does is too much salt in the body, then the body loses too many fluids. It can cause kidney damage because your kidneys have to work so hard, not only getting rid of the sodium salt, but also the lithium salt. I don't know all the... I have something here on it, though. Well, you can, you lose touch with reality. That's one of them, because it throws off the entire chemical balance in the body with way too much. But they say diarrhea, vomiting, drowsiness, muscular weakness, and lack of coordination may be early signs of lithium toxicity and can occur at lithium levels below 2.0. At higher levels, giddiness, I don't even know what this word is, ataxia?
Ataxia.
What's that? Do you know, Mary Beth?
Dizziness?
Okay. Blurred vision, large output of dilute urine may be seen. Serum lithium levels above 3.0 produce a complex clinical picture involving multiple organs and organ systems. So it can be dangerous.
Before a physician will prescribe lithium, is there any way that they can tell how much your body can take?
No, not that I know of at this point. What they did with me is they would take a blood test each morning. And I know it's a simple blood test because if I can go to a hospital and get my lithium checked for $10, I know it's easy. Hospitals just aren't cheap. But that's all it took, was checking each morning and monitoring, you know, how one feels. Okay, since I think it was around Thanksgiving then of 1983 when they finally got my lithium level to the right level, since then I felt really good. I felt in control. I haven't experienced the same kind of depression. I've experienced some things that have made me depressed, say loss of friendships and things like that, but they've been depressions that have been situational related, and I've been able to deal with them because, well, I guess for me, I had to clear up the chemical imbalance before I could even see what the other things were that were depressing me. Now lithium, it almost sounds like a wonder drug in what it does here, and it has been labeled sometimes the wonder drug of the 80s. But it doesn't always work well for everyone. It works great in my family, for my mother, my brother, my sister, myself. But for some people, it doesn't work well and the side effects are bad. The only side effects I had when I first started on lithium, I had hand tremor and couldn't drink anything that had caffeine in it. It would just make me sick. But for some people, they have the hand tremor, feeling of nausea, and weight gain. My mother gained some weight from lithium. But there are other forms of lithium which help in these areas. If lithium carbonate, which is the generic form that I take, if that doesn't work well for a person, there is also Escalith and Lithobid, and probably a few more forms that I don't know of, that help, you know, work for some people so that they do not have the side effects. For me, lithium costs less than $4 a month. It's a very nice medication to have to take. But lithium cannot be taken by pregnant women or people who have heart or kidney problems. And I think the reason for people with kidney problems not being able to take lithium is that the kidneys have to work double time. First, they have to work to get the sodium out of the system that the lithium kicked out, and then the lithium itself is reprocessed in that same day too, and so they work, kidneys work double time. There have been a lot of famous people who have, people have thought are manic depressive. Abraham Lincoln, they believe, was manic depressive. I've heard that David in the Bible was probably manic depressive. As, I can't remember which psalm it is, but he says, "I feel like water poured out upon sand." And that is a wonderful description of how you feel when you're depressed. You can't pick yourself back up. How do you pick water back up out of sand? I think that's about all I wanted to say right now, and if anybody has any questions or wants me to tell more about my story, my mother's story, or the stories I know of people who've been in the manic phase, my hospitalization.
When you were said you were studying for this course, were you able to do your work? Job?
I was a lot slower. I wasn't doing a very good job. I felt paranoid that I was going to be fired any minute. And luckily it wasn't during the busy season for a tax accountant. And it was okay for me to be pretty slow. But afterwards, which was really neat, and my boss talked to me, he said he couldn't believe the remarked improvement and the amount of, I could take on a lot heavier load and a lot more difficult things and get it done in a faster time after. It was just like, I just can't explain it, just having this cap off that I could think again before everything was so hard and everything afterwards seemed so sharp.
Did you start thinking that people were looking at you and knowing what was going on in your mind and all those kinds of things?
I became a little paranoid. I was paranoid that I was going to lose my job because I noticed I was slower and couldn't think. That is typical, though, of depression, is feeling like everyone else can see what you're doing and is judging you.
What can a person do if someone near or dear to you is going through a depression like that? What can you say or do to help?
You mean a chemical imbalance type depression, or just any?
No, the chemical imbalance.
I would think, I know for myself, people would tell me, you've got so much going for you, you know, how can you even be thinking of suicide? But in that state, you can't listen to anyone else. And so I think almost the best thing you could do for someone is just really encourage them to get medical help, to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Now, I went to psychiatrists because psychiatrists can prescribe medication and psychologists can't. And I had, with my family background and the encouragement of my mother and things like that, you know, I had a pretty good idea that mine was a chemical imbalance.
What do pregnant women do? You said they can't take it. What if they need it? What do they do in the meantime?
my doctor didn't tell me the exact medication, but he said that there is something else that he could give, you know, for that period, a substitute. I'm not sure what.
Is this state felt more in the younger people, more prevalent than it is in older people?
No. I would... I would just say that, I mean, it seems to strike all ages, but this progression here, the manic phase, doesn't strike most people till 20s or 30s, till they're in their 20s or 30s.
Progresses right on up to elderly stage?
Yeah. Manic depression can be for any age, yeah. It just doesn't attack, say, people in their teens or people in their 20s or 30s. It's something that seems to, all through life. Now, people always ask me, well, then are you going to have to be on lithium all your life? And at this point, I say yes. But in talking with my doctor, he feels that there will be some progress which will actually cure the imbalance. Lithium doesn't really cure it. It just displaces the sodium for the time being, and you need to keep taking it to correct it for that day.
What is this lithium derived from?
It is just a natural salt. If I was born in Lithium Springs, Georgia, I probably wouldn't have this problem. It's in the water system.
Ashland, Oregon.
Yeah, there are several places in Texas too where it's naturally in the water system, and that helped them in their research. They just found in these certain areas people didn't have manic depression, and that's part of it. And it affects people at different stages. Everybody has their own timetable. In Mood Swing, they talked a lot about certain people who would have the manic phase for 48 hours and the depressed phase for 48 hours, and just going up and down like this. In my mother, she would have it, I think it was like, she would have it for a couple years, being very depressed, and then not have it for 4 or 5, and then be very depressed again for another few years. And so in each person it's different. I know before, lithium has only been in the United States 14 years now. Before lithium, my mother went through a lot. She was depressed and in and out of state hospitals, shock treatment, you name it, she had it. But she read about lithium and asked her doctor if she could go on it. And this is 14 years ago in Rochester, Minnesota, the Mayo Clinic. And they said that she could go on it if she stayed in the lockup ward at the state hospital for observation for several months. And after being on lithium a few weeks, she felt fine. Yet she had to stay in. So she made us all, as kids, about 3 pair of moccasins each and pot holders. But and now my mother's kind of like trying to make up for all the time she spent in bed, depressed. When I was young, a lot of what I remember is my mom laying in bed with the shades pulled and the sheets pulled up over her head. And if you'd come to talk to her, all she would say is, I'm a terrible mother. I'm a terrible mother. And at 7 years old, you can't convince someone that no, they're not. Or, I mean, at any age, you can't convince a depressed person. But my mother, now she's graduated from University of Minnesota. She's been down in Nicaragua. She's living now, making up for all those years before lithium.
Sarah, like you said, your mother had, you know, like a couple years and then would be relieved. Did you always live in the same place at that time? Or, you know, did you move that maybe like you say, the water could have even been helping her?
No, she... We lived like in 3 or 4 different areas, but it didn't seem to have anything to do with the water there.
I just thought maybe if you moved and maybe, you know, like she got maybe was getting some lithium or something in the water even. That
yeah.
Could have really.
No, I don't know. It's so different. They still really don't know why in some people, the imbalance occurs so early in life or so late in life or so irregularly, and some people so regularly. There's a lot more research that needs to be done.
Do you have any statistics on that question? As far as numbers or anything like that? Amount of people in the United States cases diagnosed?
There probably are some statistics somewhere, but I don't have them. I've got a lot of research material here that, in fact, in Madison, Wisconsin, they have a manic depression research area where a whole part of the whole section of the university is designated just for the research regarding lithium and manic depression.
Do you have to be careful of your studies and things?
No. Now, the thing is, what they ask you to do is to just keep taking the normal amount of salt that you usually do, then you adjust your lithium to that. Now, I haven't had to change anything. It's just, I take lithium 3 times a day, 3 capsules, and as long as I just, don't change my dietary habits largely, I don't notice any difference.
I noticed one thing in particular in your talk, you were talking about sleep there at one point. Does this affect so many people who say, I can't sleep at night? Is this one of the things, or does this have anything to do with that?
Well, that's typical of people who are depressed, not being able to sleep. That they, they can lie in bed for hours and hours, but not feel rested. I don't know a lot about REM cycles or whatever it is, when you're sleeping. But for some reason, you don't get into the deep state of sleep when the serotonin is not present in the synapse area. And
you have to be depressed in order to have this?
Oh, no. I don't think that's, you can say that. I'm just saying that a lot of depressed people, it's typical that they can't sleep well. And I mean, that's the first thing the doctor asked me when I walked in. How have you been sleeping? What are your eating habits? Are you interested in food? And things like that. Tim?
What are the differences in symptoms between the depressed state and the manic state?
Okay. I've never had the manic, but in the depressed state, just a feeling of listlessness, no self-worth, it was not being able to make any decisions, the cap on the head, all that. Now the manic, which my brother has had, to him he didn't want to give it up. He didn't want to go on lithium because the highs were too wonderful. In the manic phase, people feel like they're a lot of hyper-religiosity, and they feel like they're God. Do crazy things like going on huge buying sprees, I've heard of people buying 100 jigsaw blades, if one's good, 100 must be better, or buying a very expensive car. One woman who came into the hospital when I was there was in a very manic phase, and it happened to be Halloween, and she made me walk up and down the halls with her. She was carrying a candle, and she goes, do you know what day it is today? And I said, yes, it's Halloween. She goes, no, it's All Saints Day. And when I say peace be with you, you must say, and also with you. Getting off on this real religious, that I know what I'm doing. And then she got off on the idea that red was the color of the devil. And in this hospital, the carpeting was red, the furniture was red in her room, the telephones were red, and The Coke machine was red. She took all of her furniture out of her room. She put a sign over the Coke sign so the red wouldn't show. Things like that. It's a more distorted fate state of mind than the depression. So, but yet the person feels wonderful. Just like, I wish I had the book here where they talked about, they quoted people saying, you know, I knew I was the best and that I deserve this job and I could do it better than anyone.
What's the eating and sleeping like in the night?
It depends upon the person, but a lot of manic people don't sleep for days on end. You know, they're just so active and so hyper and doing things that they don't sleep during that manic phase. They don't have time for it. They're so excited.
Seems like it would be the opposite. Yeah. Oh,
what?
To not have the energy. Or are you saying this is a manic person on lithium?
No, manic depressive. When the imbalance is that far out, it seems like they have, it's a distorted state. They feel very high.
So the high would have been too high, as your brother said, if he started taking lithium to help.
Well, you see, my brother didn't enjoy the depression part, but he felt so good inside, he did, when he was in these manic phases, that he wanted just to forget, he wanted to keep those, even though he did such stupid things while he was in that phase. It felt so good. You know, he would go out and just spend the money that he did not have. Yet, he felt so good while he was doing it that he didn't want to give that up. Now, he's been on lithium for several years now and has not had those manic.
No, a person cuts way down on salt, does that kind of make a difference?
I think, I don't know exactly how it works, but I would think no matter how much sodium you intake, there's still going to be some sort of imbalance. My body is not capable of processing that sodium. So, depending, no matter how much I take in, somehow it's going to get off. It'll keep absorbing, it'll just keep building up.
You hear so many people today say don't touch salt, everything that they eat, they don't want any part of salt. Can't your system get to the point of where you require a certain amount of salt?
Well, I think that the important thing here is it's not just salt. This is sodium, which is a main thing in salt. But sodium is in so many things, not just salt, that you can't control this completely by saying, oh, I won't eat any more salt. It's actually the compound sodium, or the whatever it is, element sodium, which is in salt.
Do you crave sodium? Is your system crave sodium?
I've never noticed anything like that. I know in my mother, she salts everything to death. But I think that's maybe just something she's acquired from birth.
So after you started feeling better, when you were in the hospital from, you know, once you were taking the lithium, then did you have to, or did you spend some time in a group or in counseling, getting emotionally over the year and a half that you'd spent, you know, so depressed?
Well, I didn't. I went right back to work. I got out noon on Wednesday and was at work Thursday morning. But within the hospital I was in, it was a very good hospital. They not only treated you for your chemical imbalance with the blood tests and things like that, but they had classes which they required us to go to, which kept us busy all day. And these classes were depression education, stress management. There was one therapy group. People just that were in the hospital got together and talked. physical education in showing how the physical is so related to your mood. Physical activity provides positive something for your well-being. But I also had the support of Al-Anon. I was in Al-Anon at the time. And I know there's what they call EA now, Emotions Anonymous, which a lot of people who've had depression can go to as a support group. So, I mean, I had enough support with friends and with what I'd received in the hospital that I could go from there. But they do highly recommend that for people, especially people who've been in the hospital a long time. Most of the people that I was in the hospital with, the shortest stay was around 6 weeks. And it was unusual. I was in there a little over 2 weeks. But most people, it's 6 weeks to 6 months. And so then they need something after they leave, I mean, just to adjust again after living in a hospital situation.
Were they in there for manic depressive or the other?
There were a lot of different things. A lot of them were manic depressive, though. And for a lot of people, it was a really difficult thing to accept. Yes, I do have manic depression. I need, you know, I need to take lithium and I need to do this for myself. A lot of people were in there and weren't ready to make that statement for themselves. So they wouldn't take their lithium or they would deny that they had a problem.
Sarah?
Yeah?
You said your doctor said at some point you might not have to take lithium anymore.
Yeah.
How are you going to know? Do you go in and have a blood test once a year or?
Well, what I'm supposed to have a blood test every 3 or 4 months just to make sure my lithium level is correct. Now, when I made that statement about him hoping I wouldn't have to take it for the rest of my life, it's because he feels that there might be something else, some other kind of treatment that would correct the chemical imbalance. It's not that my chemical imbalance would go away after so many years of being on lithium, but it's that he's hoping there would be something else that would actually correct it.
What was the reason that you said you were in this kind of depression for about a year and a half before you finally went in the hospital? And was there, given your family history, was there a reason why you waited that long to go see a psychiatrist? Were you fighting the idea that this might be your problem, or?
Well, part of it was that I didn't really know what manic depression was. I knew my mother had been through terrible depressions, but I mean, I'd never had any of the highs, and I was under the impression at first that if you're manic depressive, you have to have the highs and the lows. And I'd always been kind of a level-headed person. And I think for most people, at least for myself, you try to find something else. You know, like I kept thinking, it's just work. And I've got to work through my job and figure out what's bothering me so much about this job. You know, I was trying to pin it on something. I know after my mother was depressed for several years in a row, and one time, in desperation of trying to find what was causing her depression, she told my father, if only the windows in this house were clean, I would be happy. And he, you know, if after all those years, my father was to the point of just, okay, we'll try it. So he had some people come in and help wash windows, and of course, she wasn't any better after that. But that's the point you get to. You're searching so hard for some reason why you're feeling so depressed.
Sir, I have a couple questions. Can manic depression be caused by anything other than a chemical imbalance? Or can depression, or manic depression?
I don't think so. I think that's what they found, that manic depression is, I mean, it is caused by this chemical imbalance, by your body not being able to process the sodium.
I know this isn't a very pleasant thought, but I'm sure it concerns you. Do you have any idea what the likelihood of your children having?
Mm-hmm. The doctor told me probably 60%, like with my mother. But that is no reason for concern, he told me, because if lithium works this well for me, it would work as, just as well for if I had children. Just like with my mother, it works so well with her, and it works well with all of our children. You know, I have thought about that. He told me once about 60%.
Are you in the Mayo Clinic up on that? Quite a lot of research, or is that more?
I wouldn't say the Mayo Clinic, no. I'd say Wisconsin, Madison.
You say your mother went to the Mayo Clinic?
Yeah, she went. She was in Rochester State Hospital at the time, and her doctor just happened to be at the Mayo Clinic. But they weren't real up on it, no.
Not as much as Madison.
No, I would say that Madison's a lot further ahead.
This would be hard to pick up in your local hospitals then, wouldn't it? Through your local doctors and et cetera?
I'm not sure. I think it's very important if you feel that you may have a chemical imbalance type depression, that if you're not happy with the doctor you're with, I mean, if the doctor is not even suggesting that it might be a chemical imbalance or something like that, to switch doctors. And I think there are enough doctors around that are aware of chemical imbalance type depressions, or there's so many illnesses caused by chemical imbalances. The doctor even went so far to say is that the people, the ones of us who are in the hospital, he said, you guys are just 5 years too early. He said, 5 years from now, I'll be out of a job, and you're going to be able to come into the emergency room. They'll take a blood test and say what the chemical imbalance is, give you the correct treatment for whatever, and send you home. I'm not sure if that, I mean, I think there's the personal aspect that's really needed. The courses, like Mary Beth was talking about, of helping people work back in to a routine after being depressed for so long. You need that personal interaction. But I think that's the way things are going. Medical research is chemical imbalances and being aware of that.
Sarah? To address that question, I know in Okanagan County they have a psychiatrist come from Seattle, the mental health people. And he takes care of medication, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So there is some awareness.
Great.
Yeah.
Were you ever on the special team diet with food or anything like that?
No.
Some of the foods would maybe have some of the symptoms or something.
Not that I wasn't on any special diets, and I haven't heard of that. Mm-hmm. I guess lithium is just easiest taken in capsule form.
Lithium is a really widely prescribed drug, both as by psychiatrists and by regular MDs. The regular MDs are being able to follow through on it, as well as the psychiatrists. Readily available in like therapists, readily available in several forms, be it capsule, tablet, long-acting tablet. your doctor would work with you on the program that you needed and on the type of scheduling you can do on that. But it's widely available and widely known. Most of the doctors in any kind of community, either health clinic or community medical center, would be aware of the minutes.
At first, I was kind of disgusted with my doctor because I didn't understand. I wondered why he just didn't start me on lithium with my family history. He didn't start me on it right away. He kept trying antidepressant drugs the first few times that I went to see him. And I think I understand that more now that he wanted me to try the antidepressant drugs just to see if it was the norepinephrine up here that just needed to be regulated. And that's what antidepressant drugs can do. But they're expensive. Antidepressant drugs are really expensive. Does anybody have any other questions they want to ask?
If your brother got beyond the depressed stage to the manic depressive stage, with the family history, did anybody suspect it while he was depressed that he needed treatment before he got to the manic stage?
He was not living at home at that time. Mm-hmm. He was in the service and then he was on his own. My brother's also alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And so it's very hard to tell. Was he high from drinking? Was he depressed from drinking?
Mm-hmm.
Was his alcoholism caused by trying to cover up his mood swings, mm-hmm. so he just drank too much?
Is that a common thing for these people to become alcoholic?
Well, there's some link. Or there's a strong connection, I can't say a link. My brother Steve is currently trying to do some research on that. And he's, in his last letter he was saying that he was going to be talking with Dr. Fife, who wrote the book, Mood Swing, and seeing about what kind of research they could do, because it just seems like there's a lot of people who have both.
Is the brother an alcoholic? Is he on with you now? Did you say that as well?
Yep, and he's also been dry for 8 years, but I think he's been on lithium about 8 or 9. I'm not positive.
Is magnesium also a drug that's associated with this manic depressive, or I'm thinking of something else?
I haven't heard of magnesium. Could very well could be, but I haven't heard of it.
Is the drug very expensive to work on?
No, it's less than $4 a month for me. It's very reasonable.
Wait till they find out everybody needs it.
You do have to have maintain a certain level, right?
I don't think so. I think the reason that I need lithium in my body is that I need to kick out the sodium. I don't think most other people need lithium.
Well, I mean, whether they take it in a medicated form or not, it's probably a mineral or element that you probably need to keep a certain balance in your blood. That's why they're able to take the blood test and determine that.
Well, I'm not positive on that, but I know that they will not allow me to give blood. Because lithium is harmful to small children, or you know, if it's in, the amount would be too much. I really don't think that most people have lithium in their system normally. Is that right, Mary Beth?
I think so. I'm not certain, but I'm guessing that they probably started you on lithium and then started the blood test.
Yeah.
They didn't take a blood test and say, oh, your lithium level is too low.
Right. I think that when they took the blood test at first, it was to find out my sodium level is too high, and then taking lithium. I don't think most people have lithium in their system, but I take it and they monitor it because they want to kick out the sodium.
What about a low sodium diet? Has that ever been recommended?
No. As I just mentioned there, sodium is in so many things that you can't get rid of it by taking no salt in.
But
There are foods on the market with low sodium in them. I wonder if that's people who.
Right. No, I don't think it really is. I don't think
it's for some other thing.